When Paula Vogel's memory play, How I Learned to Drive, opened off-Broadway in 1997, it was seen as groundbreaking, even shocking, for its somewhat sympathetic depiction of a sexualized relationship between a young girl and her uncle, and it won the Pulitzer Prize for Drama the following year. It's now being revived at the Second Stage Theater on West 43rd Street, starring Norbert Leo Butz and Elizabeth Reaser. And I'm very pleased to welcome the playwright and the stars of the show to our show today. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Paula, is this the first New York production of this play since the original run in 1997?
It is indeed.
What's taking so long? Won the Pulitzer Prize. Are producers wary of the subject matter?
It's interesting how time moves in New York City, I think, differently than the rest of the country.
I'm not sure that what that means exactly.
I think that... I wanted to wait until I felt it was just the right alignment to bring it back. And with Second Stage and these two actors, I just thought it was the right time.
Well, it's also at a time when there have been a lot of high-profile child abuse cases like Penn State, which makes it feel more timely.
Well, in truth, and this is the sad part about it, I think if you bring it back in any year, it is unfortunately timely. I think that when I first wrote it, I was hoping that that would not be the case. But it really does seem that this is a constant issue now, every day.
Just to fill in our listeners, the play involves a family living in Maryland and the troubling relationship between a young girl whose nickname is Lil Bit and Uncle Peck, her uncle by marriage. Elizabeth, many people know you from the Twilight movies and Grey's Anatomy and your appearances on The Good Wife on TV. Has it been a while since you were on the New York stage?
I think it's been, someone told me, I know I haven't done a play in 6 years, but the last time I did a play was at Williamstown, so it's been even longer than that since I've been on the New York stage.
And then this is the one you chose to be in?
Well, yeah, I know, right? I've bit off a lot with this one. I've been looking to do a play for a while, to come back and do a play, and there's no better role for a woman, I think, than this play, and I there was just no way I could pass up this opportunity.
Well, it really gives you a chance to show off all of your acting chops. Had you seen the earlier production?
No. In fact, I think I resisted the earlier production because I didn't know really what it was about, and I thought it was about pedophilia, and it scared me, the idea of that. And I didn't understand that it was this coming-of-age play and a love story and how funny it is.
And some people might say also about the sexualization of children in our culture. Paul, I want to get to that in a little bit, but let's bring Norbert in here. Most theater-goers will associate you with musicals you've done. Mm-hmm. You won 2 Tonys for Best Actor in a Musical, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels and Catch Me If You Can. What appealed to you about the role of Uncle Peck in this play?
Similar to Elizabeth, the part is written so gorgeously. I read it, I guess, not long after I finished graduate school, and it was just sort of sitting on a friend's table, and I picked it up. I didn't move to New York until 97, so I missed the original production as well. And I read the play in one sitting, and I just thought, that is a hell of a part. When I'm of age, I hope it comes my way. And when it did, like Elizabeth, I just leapt.
Well, how was this cast? Paula, you suggested that you chose these actors?
Yes, yes. I had such a great experience the first time. And
you had 2 great actors.
I had a great director. It was a wonderful theater company, the entire cast. And, you know, it's when you've been lucky to be in love that first time, you know, time passes very quickly, and then suddenly you think, I could do this again. I might be in love again. and that's exactly what happened. So when Kate Rorisky and I started talking, we were thinking about who has the emotional courage and also can do comedy, and we'll go deep into this play. And these are the 2 actors that we agreed upon. So it really was this lining up of of all of these great people. And it's an interesting thing. I think a lot of people, in the same way, I don't really think we use the P word a lot, right, in the rehearsal room. Am I remembering that correctly, Norbert?
We say popcorn a lot.
I'm
a fan of popcorn, but we did not say the pedophile word a lot, no.
Right.
Well,
right.
You said, Paula, haven't you said that you were inspired by Nabokov's Lolita, but that you wanted to tell the story from the girl's point of view?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's interesting. I mean, when we're talking about Lolita, I don't think we say, well, this is a book. Well, maybe we do about pedophiles, because I think it's more than that. Mm-hmm. It's about love that becomes obsessive. Mm-hmm. It's about the damage that love can do.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, I think, how young girls may feel complicit, and what is maturity? What is the coming of age? So, you know, for the very reasons that, you know, I loved Lolita, I knew that in order to make this play work, we had to have actors who could do all of these layers of emotion and nuance.
Well, Lolita is called a comic novel, and although I may not call this play a comedy, there is a lot of funny stuff in it, and you needed people who could play both drama and comedy.
Right.
There is a really hilarious scene in which the mother is telling her daughter not to get drunk when she goes out with a boy, but even that is part of a kind of a chilling tone in this play. My guests are Paula Vogel, whose play How I Learned to Drive has been revived at the Second Stage Theater in a wonderful production. It's on West 43rd Street. Its stars are Norbert Leo Butz and Elizabeth Reeser, and we will continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. Paula Vogel's play, How I Learned to Drive, is back in New York. Its first production was 1997. Now it's at the Second Stage Theater on West 43rd Street, starring Elizabeth Reeser as Lil Bit and Norbert Leo Butz as Peck. Also in the cast, Kevin Cahoon, Jennifer Regan, and Marnie Schulenberg. And Elizabeth, you narrate this play as a grown woman speaking directly to the audience, but then you have to turn around and become part of a scene as an adolescent girl, and you range in age from an adult to 18, 16, 13...
15, 13, 11.
And eventually 11. Mm-hmm. Are those shifts technically demanding on you as an actor?
You know, I think if I had time to think about them, they would seem more demanding. But I think once I start the play, I don't really stop. I have one tiny little break where I go off stage. But I think the play is just so perfectly written in that it takes you wherever you are. Wherever you need to be, it immediately places you there because the language is so precise and so specific to each age.
But you also have to figure out what voice to use and what body language to use to convince the audience that you are no longer an adult.
That's true. I mean, I think that also comes from the language. For me, I think it's if you sort of jump into what Paula has written, it informs what your body and what your voice does. And I think that's otherwise, I don't think it would be possible to do all these different things.
Norbert, your role is less complicated in terms of age because your character is middle-aged for the whole play,
mm-hmm.
So the age difference is less dramatic. But is this role difficult in other ways?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Peck is clearly crossing a line, and yet we feel sympathy for him.
Yeah.
Or else the play doesn't work.
Poor Peck. You know, I always say that only bad plays are hard to do. Only bad writing is hard to do. When you have to, as an actor, act dramaturgically, as Paula once said to me. in other words, you have to lift the play on your back and make stuff that's really not that good. You got to make it work. And I've done a lot of musicals. I love musicals, and I'm a singer. But unfortunately, with musicals, especially the books of musicals, you are expected to be a dramaturgical actor. You just have to make leaps of imagination. You have to fill in huge blanks in those scripts. It's very, very difficult to write the book of a musical. So it's quite easy, as Elizabeth was saying. Paula has constructed a pretty tight ship here. And so if you just sort of stay on course, a lot of your work is done. If you learn the play well, I will say, it has surprised me. I am not a methody actor, and I am not a take-it-home-with-me kind of actor, but I have been surprised with this piece in that it has affected some of my dreams. I've had some very dark dreams. I've had some more anxiety than I've had in other roles. You know, I am the father of three daughters, actually. I have a 14-year-old and a 12-year-old at home, and a baby girl.
Can you bring them to see the play?
No, they will not be seeing the play, and that's my choice. You know, but that's my choice. There are other teenage girls that the play could speak wonderfully, powerfully to. That's for parents to decide. But it cuts close to the bone, and I bet any man who's stepped in Peck's shoes would feel that.
Well, we never really find out in the play what it is in Uncle Peck's past that makes mm-hmm. him do all of this. But as an actor, is that something that you had to figure out for yourself?
Again, Paula has given a few signposts. We know that he is a veteran. We know that he's a Marine who would have served in the Pacific Theater in World War II. Famously, grueling violent
but not necessarily something that leads you to become a pedophile.
No, but something that would definitely lead one to suffer from PTSD disorder, what we now kind of, we throw that around all the time.
Right.
You know, Mary has that gorgeous monologue where she says, hey, this is a World War II vet. Men did not talk about this stuff. We have a slight allusion to maybe the mother that he had growing up. Doesn't want to talk about her too much. He becomes cagey when certain subjects are brought up, which leads me to believe there are demons in that closet.
Elizabeth, part of the ambiguity of the play is their relationship in terms of her complicity. At times, there's an element of her flirting with Uncle Peck, but she's still a child and a kid who feels somewhat unloved. So can we call it complicity? Does she, as Uncle Peck's wife says, know exactly what she's doing?
Well, I think yes and no. I mean, I think that's not for me to say in a way. I mean, I certainly remember back to being a girl and feeling very knowing and understanding on some level my power, my sexual power, or whatever that is when you're young and hot. but at the same time, not understanding it at all. And you're still a kid, I think. And, you know, me outside of this play, I have a judgment about it. But at the same time, I don't. I mean, I'm inside of it right now, and I think that my character is in love with him, and I think that...
And Uncle Peck is her closest ally in the family.
And he's the only person, he's the person that sees her, that gets her. He's the one that tells her to go to college and you know, loves her in a really pure way.
Mm-hmm. And Paula, the whole idea of driving lessons is complex as well. On the one hand, Uncle Peck uses them as an opportunity to molest a little bit, but then he also really wants to teach her how to drive and to drive well, and he says, drive like a man. So he's empowering her at the same time that he's abusing her.
Absolutely. I mean, I think in so many ways he gives her the tools of survival to basically move past this very gray relationship. He basically gives her the tools to destroy himself.
Now, where did all of this... Okay, finish. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay.
I know a lot of people have wondered whether this is autobiographical, and you've said no. But
well, and yes, in that I know every inch of Back Road of Maryland. And yes, in that, you know, I wrote it when I was Peck's age. And yes, you know, I too came of age in Maryland. I would say that it's autobiographical in ways that a lot of people would not suspect. And not autobiographical in others. I mean, I, you know, and I just want to say a word here because I'm listening with some embarrassment to these two artists talking about my script. But the truth of the matter is that I can watch them on stage and know what time it is, know exactly what age they are. I actually think that, you know, this is a play where people really are coming to see these incredible artists. Go into these roles. And, you know, we may start off in love with theater and think we might want to become playwrights, but the reason we stay in the game is for the opportunity to work with artists like Norbert and Elizabeth.
Well, that's very sweet, Paula.
Thank you.
Yeah, but, well, the two of you had not worked together before, I suspect. But with a play like this, don't you have to develop a kind of trust that another kind of part might not have required?
Yeah, we made a pact early on.
I think it was the first day, or no, it was the second time I met you. We had to do a photo shoot for the poster, and Norbert was like, all right, let's just decide right now. It's all in. We're both going to be there for each other, and we sort of made a commitment.
Yeah, we made it. We made a pact, and we stuck to it.
Yeah.
And we've taken great care of each other, and we really have developed a lot of trust, and so much so that we keep musing about the next play that we could do together. We're both dying to do a Shakespeare play.
There's also a Greek chorus, Kevin Cahoon, Jennifer Regan, and Marnie Schulenberg, who play all the other parts, and they also get to sing. You're the only person, Norbert, who doesn't get to sing.
I don't sing. And Paul and I talked about that. I said, Paul, are you sure you don't, there's not a pedophilic tap number somewhere in this... Well into the play. Maybe as I'm nearing my demise, I could sort of tap my way through my...
Down the stairs
at the end of the play.
Oh,
jeez. I don't know.
You've been running, Paula, the Yale University Playwriting Program, but you've announced that you're stepping down. Will you continue to teach?
To teach and to do more writing. My first love has always been musical theater, so...
You're going to write a musical?
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, Paula.
You've done AIDS, you've done prostitution, you've done pedophilia.
Hey, Paula, I can't wait
to hear these songs.
It's time to go into the real darkness, you know, musical theater.
Paula, remember, this is Norbert. I sing, okay? Just remember me when you cast.
So what's next for you?
The
play is expected to run only until March 11th. Is it likely there's going to be an extension?
It is likely.
It's likely.
I don't think that it's official yet, but it's very, very likely.
It's likely, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we would both like to continue it for at least a little while.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, in your case, Elizabeth, there's always television in New York. New York television is enjoying some kind of renaissance.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
now you don't have to move to L.A. to get work.
No, it's funny. I work more in New York than I haven't worked in L.A. in like 6 years or something. I always work in
New
York.
The Twilight films as well?
Yeah, we were in Vancouver, Louisiana, Portland, never L.A.
No, but you have to be on Broadway because it's mostly singing and dancing.
I've been delving into a little bit more I did three independent films actually back to back right before starting on this, and so we'll see what else is out there.
And Paula, were you serious? Is there really a musical in the works?
Absolutely, there is, and I'm working on a lot of writing projects. And you know, I have to say, it's been such a high watching this cast that it makes me want to go back to the blank page.
How I Learned to Drive is scheduled to run into March at the Second Stage Theater, but that means you don't have a heck of a lot of time to see Norbert Leo Butz and Elizabeth Reaser in Paula Vogel's wonderful play.